Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
We want to give you thanks tonight, Lord, for the Word of God. We want to say thank you for all that you've done for us. And we also want to say thank you, Lord, that in this time that we're praying, this fast is with a purpose. This fast is going to have an impact and make a difference on our entire year. In fact, on our future. This is so important to be in tune, in harmony, in sync with God Almighty and with the Holy Spirit, to have and to receive and experience the mind of Christ after this week, after this fast, to know and to perceive what God is really wanting from us, to understand the will of God, to know your purposes. The mind of Christ for us is what we desire. And that, Lord, we would do those things that we need to do, because very often we find things and they become confusing. And Lord, those things that are confusing are resolved instantly with the mind of Christ. And so, Father, we pray for the activation of that dimension in everybody's life, that this will be a time in which not only will they experience that, but also protection, provision, and they will prosper, and they will have favor in this year, and good health. We thank you, Lord, for all the multiple blessings. They're all covered in the Bible. Covers all of our lives, all of the lifespan of our lives. At any stage that we live, we are covered by the promises of God. And we have this foundation, a sure foundation of faith. And on top of that, Lord, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It says we have the spirit of faith. And Lord, so therefore, with the mind of Christ, the spirit of faith, we are overcomers in this generation. We are more than conquerors. We know tonight that you take care of us. And we thank you, Lord, that as we seek your face, we will certainly find you. For you said, if you search for me, and if you seek me, if you search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. Help us to do just that in this night and for the rest of our lives, to always be on the lookout for Jesus around every corner of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Father. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may take your seats. And it's good to be here tonight. And we will go on from where we were. But at the same time, to remind you, my goodness, a lot of people again in the church. To remind you that Sunday night's going to be the big one. Sunday night is the empowerment night. It is the night in which we pray for exactly what I've just prayed here to manifest in your life. I want all of you to go well. I see people struggling all the time. I'm aware of it all of my life. And if you're in the ministry, if you're a shepherd, you see people running around without shepherds of any church by their own choice, by their own doing. And Lord, I pray tonight that a revival will come to South Africa. And the people will stream into churches everywhere. We are one of the first of the perhaps Holy Spirit revival, fire kind of conferences in the new year. We do it. Now I know Mark Britton come with them do it. I know they do it on Reunion Island. I was in contact with them there. Bruno, the people out there, wonderful people on Reunion Island. They're actually French and I'll be going there sometime in the year. In the latter part of the year, we'll be flying out there in a week. And then I'll be ministering to the churches. They are in turn connected to France, and from France to Europe, and from Europe to other parts of the world like Canada and so on and so forth. It's a whole network of churches. But at the same time, there are these people, and every one of you here, you have needs, you have unspoken desires, you have your own struggles. You might feel that certain people have done you in. You might feel tonight that you're unloved, and you might feel alone. I'm saying to you, you're not unloved and you're not alone. And that Jesus is right with you now. Give the Lord Jesus a praise offering right now. Amen. And for every problem in life, there is a solution God provides. And so tonight, let us go on. Last night, I got into talking to you, and the Spirit just takes me in a direction. And I realize that sometimes it happens without even, well, it's not what I planned. I had a whole list of things that I had planned. But so the Lord just takes me there, and He digs into my knowledge bank. And what happens to me is I'm one of those people, I can now see that God wanted me to be the way I am. The way I'm wired is to be researching, to be all the time taking in information. And He's given me very strong memory. And so I've got no problem. When I read it, I remember it. That's it. I can bring it back again. And sometimes you talk to people and then something that you've studied comes out. And there are all kinds of things happening in this year. We're living in what is very well known as it was in the days of Noah. That expression, the days of Noah, has become quite broad spread in the Christian world. And if we do that, we've got to understand that the days of Noah were not good days. They were days of judgment. They were days in which people died. They were days of severe corruption. And they were days in which there was violence in the earth. And Genesis 6 says there were even giants in the earth in those days. Now, those are the days. Jesus says it will be like the days of Noah. And having said that, there was a prophet by the name of Daniel. And Daniel the prophet was praying. And wherever he went, he was praying. Here we have some artwork, which I like. I just found it today. And I thought, my, this angel looks very much like the angel that appeared to me in a vision in the night. And very much. And in its size, perhaps a little bit taller than that. And the wings are very much like what I've seen, except for one difference. It didn't have a beard, and its hair, the angel's hair, was down to the shoulders, and they were gold in color, like the goldest gold of gold, like a golden ring, like if you look at gold, that color. It's just very, very beautiful, slightly roundish face, but we have the idea, and you see these wings, and you see Daniel between two of these male lions, and he is there, and those lions, the Bible said that God sent His angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And so today, as I was looking at the prophet Daniel, I thought to myself, well, you know, that's a good picture. So I immediately phoned Philip and I said, Philip, get this thing for me and do a little bit of work. And I said, the only thing is, I don't think the hair looks exactly the same. And he said, you want hair there. I can quickly create it on the computer. And I said, he's got quite artistic, that man. And he's pretty good with a computer. But what I'm saying is that we're living in a world, I can't put enough passion into what I'm saying. I can't put enough emotion into what I'm saying. Intensity into what I'm saying. But we're living in times that are definitely going to be changing. Every indication of all the resources, and I go in every direction. I build knowledge in every direction, all the time. It's just me. And everywhere I go, I get the same signals fired at me over and over again. That we are to expect a new dispensation. As we've entered, we forget about the fact that we've just been through the New Year's Eve service. And everybody makes some kind of a New Year's resolution. And soon after that, forget about that again and then go on. That's why we have the prayer cards. That's why we say, put it in writing, hand it in at the back of the desk. And then we'll pray for that and help you pray so that whatever vision you have will come to pass. So we have a time in which there are all sorts of things going on. It is a time of corruption. And if you look at the word corruption, I'm just looking here at the Oxford Dictionary. It says moral unsoundness, destruction of moral purity, chastity, defilement, and moldy or rotten, unsound condition, contaminated, infected. It goes on. You get the picture. That is more or less there. Actually, I got some other definitions on my iPad, and I didn't bring it with. But it is really where we are. The world is tendering for judgment. It's what's going on. They're tendering for judgment. And there are things going on and things happening. And I do feel that very important for us is to understand that we have to pray. Now, maybe I should, before I start getting into all those details, because I can get into anything. So let me go to Isaiah chapter 58. And let me go along with the Daniel fast. It is so very, very important that you conclude your fast. I can say so many things to you, but let me stick to where I was setting out this afternoon in finality when I decided I'm going to start here, Isaiah 58. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I just thought it's a very plain and simple rendition. It's a very understandable, thought-for-thought type of translation that you have here. So, shout with a voice of a trumpet blast, Isaiah 58. Shout aloud, don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day. They seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation. What would ever abandon the laws? That would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. Verse 3, in the middle of verse 3. I'll tell you why, responds the Lord. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. First thing we've got to do is we've got to take care that this fast is all about God. It's all about devotion to God. Like I said in the beginning, I said it so very clear. I have never taken a Daniel fast as serious as this one, this particular year. For many things that's in my knowledge bank, which I'm burned to share with you, but I'm not capable because of the shortage of the time. But I just, when I saw what I saw, when I researched what I researched, and the visions that came to me in the night, I realized, Lord, we are in the danger zone. And we need to be consecrated. And regardless of how it goes in, let's say, South Africa, it's how it goes in the whole world this year. So we've got to watch the entire planet, what's going to unfold. God says, it's because you're fasting to please yourselves. So I told the people that it's not about the diet. It's not about eating even nice food. I'm quite uninterested in that. I really couldn't care about that. If I'm serious, I really am serious. If I have to chew carrots for the rest of the session, I'll do it. But I feel so serious about this year that if nobody believed me, I'm going to still do it this way, because I do feel that it's that important. Okay? And it says, even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. People don't handle the people that work for them in a right manner. I must say, I've observed that so many times, so many times. What good is fasting, verse 4, when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me, says the Lord. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap. You cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? Now, we got to get this thing very much, because Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that proceeds from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish those things that I've sent it, whereunto I've sent it, and it shall prosper thereunto. So the fact of the matter is, the Lord says there in that same section, Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. to tune into the mind of Christ, I've got to understand, if there's anything synchronous with the mind of Christ, it is the Word of God. And the closer I can get, like I always say, to the most direct translation possible, relating to the ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek, the closer I can get to the original, the happier Harold becomes before the Lord. Because if I look at the original text, I see 1,001 things that I don't see words filled in into the English language everywhere. And it's just, it doesn't quite always get the correct thrust. Then he says these words, talking about going through the motions, that's verse 5, number 6. No, is this the kind of fasting I want? Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Verse 6 still. Let the oppressed go free. God's never put up with that. He's never put up with that. He never put up with Egypt and the Egyptians making slaves out of Israel. And anywhere else on earth, the time of the slave trade, there was a man with the name of William Wilberforce. And there was, I think the movie was called, it was a movie about it, Amazing Grace. And it's just an amazing movie to have. It's one that you keep on the rack. It's completely pure, clean, kosher in every possible way. There's no problem with that movie. But it's a historical brilliancy act of a man by the name of William Wilberforce that said, this slave trade has got to stop. And he got the British Parliament to stop it. He labored his whole life to stop oppression. And God answered his prayers and he stopped oppression. And slave trade and slave usage was just abolished. It was over and done with. And I thank God for people like that, that can bring justice to the oppressed. So let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people. Share your food. Be kind to people. Love people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Verse 7, in the middle of verse 7. Give clothes to those who need them. Funny enough, I was thinking this day, I was busy praying a lot in the day, and I was thinking that we must really begin to speed up before the winter and start bringing in clothes for the poor, that we can distribute that to the poor, and food and things like that. I really want us to get to a place where we become a light and a light source for many people in terms of the gospel, but also a place where they would know that God the Almighty cares about the beggar on the corner. He cares about the little child that sleeps under a shelter of sorts that's just like a shack type shelter, and he's cold in the middle of the winter. May God so help this church to help many in this winter season. Can you say amen? Amen. And one of the things that I want to see, one of the things I want to see is to make sure that that food and that clothing gets exactly to the point intended. And the poor get it, and the needy receive it, and those who need a covering over their bodies get it. Can you say amen? Amen. You've got to make sure that it's going to get to those places. I am quite adamant about just what I've just said now. All right. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Relatives who need your help. There might be many. And you know, I don't want to go too much into that, but I found that in every family, there's somebody who really cares. I find that if there are people that grow old in a family, there's always that one person that takes care of granny, grandpa, takes care of the aged, that's always there to serve, always there. They sow. Maud's one of those. She goes to even her mother's sister. She went to her mother. She saw to her mother. She was always there. There's always that one person. And I've seen it in our family life. There's always that one person that takes up the responsibility with joy and takes care of the aged. Well, praise the Lord, I'm still not far from that. All right. You better say amen. Amen. Anyway, you're just as old as you are up here. And I want to tell you something. Every day of my life, I desire to go back to university. Oh. Anyway. Then your salvation. Everybody say compassion. Everybody say love. Everybody say, I must be. Okay. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. I like that. That's why I chose this translation on this. Your godliness will lead you forward. Your godliness will lead you forward. Did you hear what I've just said there? Hey, my friends. Precious people, your godliness will lead you forward. God won't ignore that. He never ignores that. Can you say amen? Amen. Wow. Your godliness will lead you forward. And the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. That's the Shekinah. That means the dwelling presence. The dwelling presence. Or the resting presence, but moreover, actually, in the Hebrew, it's the dwelling presence of the Lord, the word Shekinah, where God dwells. You know, it's like almost like, I remember my children when they were small, they would walk, you know, these little toddlers, they walk everywhere. The whole world is like exploration. Everything is new that they see. Then they run here, they run there. And I remember walking behind them like that. Just walking behind my children. And then sometimes I'd see Maud do exactly the same thing. Just walk behind the children. And now, you get that picture? You've got the God picture. God does the same thing. Where are you going? What are you doing? I'm interested. Okay, let me help you. All right, I'll open this door for you. Okay, don't struggle too much. Don't go there. That's a bad place. Don't go there and suddenly you feel, oh, I better not go there. That's not a good place for me to go. Go this way. That's a dangerous place. I'll tell you, I think our angels also, beyond that even, worked overtime with all of us. You know, the Bible says that the angels are ever in the presence of the Father, pleading the case of little children. What makes you think that they leave you the moment you cross the barrier of 13 years, or 21 years, or 18 years? Or whatever. What makes you think that you're alone now? You've never been alone. You will never be alone. You're too precious. Listen, you're too valuable to be alone. Do you think ever God's going to leave you alone after going to the cross for you? Come on now. Might as well say amen. Amen. Do you think Jesus would come for you, die on the cross, and then forsake you? And that's why I like the Hebrew word for repentance, Shabbat, that much. It is simply like this. The Father loves you. He covers you with His glory. Your godliness makes a way for you. The glory of the Lord is upon you. And all you have to do is to return. And that return. That turn around and back to Him. All you have to do, the Father's right there, you run into His arms. You don't have to feel Him because we're dealing with a different dimension. I could spend a lot of time here explaining what we call dimensionality. And what happens in physics, and could I say non-physics, when you have spaceless, timeless, massless situations, and you then begin to work the equations of that. Very easily, you find out that it's a completely different dimension where into all of us are heading. You know, we worked out that thing on the city of gold. And, you know, there's some engineers, one of them being Pastor Louis Bierkemann. And, you know, he was just very interested when I did a teaching. I do a whole quarter of a year on Revelation 21 and 22. Just the city of gold. That's it. Talk for a quarter of a year on that. So, you know, now in the midst of this, he goes and he works his thing out. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like this. The angle of the city is like this. I don't want to get into the subject now, but just this. Suffice to say this. For every one step forward is kind of two steps by formula upwards. So one step forward, two steps upward. That's the height of that city. Okay? So, oh my muscles, how are they going to ever last through that exercise? Amen? Dr. Fenter, that's a new name for a muscle, okay? Don't worry about that. But how are they ever going to get through that exercise? I got news for you. You have to get into massless equations. In massless equations, you find out that things can travel literally at the speed of light and make a 90-degree turn at the speed of light with no gravitational impact. Okay. Los dit nou daar. Kom weg van het. Let's go to another place. All right. Your wounds will quickly heal. Godliness will lead you forward. The glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Take that verse. Mark that verse. It's for you this year. And then, verse 9, when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Vicious rumors is the word. Slander is the Greek word diabolos, which means to speak diabolical or devilish. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light. See, here it goes. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon, the middle of the day. And the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. How's that? Also, keep the Sabbath, the day of the Lord. Keep it a holy day in your life. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath. And speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Hey, Sunday is the Lord's day in my life. Are you listening to me? Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day. I'm reading that again. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day. And don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor, satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken via the prophet Isaiah to us here tonight. I've read several of these translations, but I just liked the New Living Translation rendition of this particular passage. I just thought it is that powerful. Now, what I want to do is I want to just cover one or two questions and then we'll go into ministry as the Holy Spirit is leading us. Right. I'm going to spend a few minutes then we get to this. Number one is, what is the real impact and experience of you being in a Daniel fast? What is the impact and the experience? The whole idea is I'm not getting myself ready to eat some delicious new discoveries for the human tongue and palate. I am not out to catch the latest form of nice sauces and whatever to make it at least taste like meat. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that way because I'm serious with God. I'm serious with God because I know there are things coming. And I know we're going to need God on the road forward as a world, not just as a nation. The world's going to need God forward. There are major things happening on the planet at this time. And there are things, projects that are really worrying me that I've been researching and looking at. And I've seen the correlation between earthquakes and those projects that are running. And I'm realizing that the one is in CERN, the CERN Hadron Collider, which is the largest machine in humankind history ever built by man. It is a particle accelerator. It accelerates particles, protons, to the speed of light, just under the speed of light. 27-kilometer underground tunnel, and with magnetic enforcement and sensors all the way down the passage. And then that 27 kilometers is a long passage to go through that thing, and then these particles are striking one another, but there is some so very much to say about that. It's built at the Temple of Apollo. And it has the goddess Shiva, the goddess of destruction, at the entrance. And there are many things to be said about that, but let's leave that also. There's another one that worries me, is the high frequency active aurora research project, the HAARP project, which is in Canada, which is just on the eastern side of Anchorage. And there is a university and military research program, and I was watching the images of the HAARP project, where right above those radio transmitters, where they're exciting the ionosphere, which is another thing I haven't spoken about, that they excite the ionosphere and it literally blows a hole in the whole atmosphere. You could see that hole, and they've taken pictures of it. I can't believe it. And then that bounces, because if you know anything about radio frequency, it goes like that. Depends on what kind of frequency, of course, because some are just line of sight and then others do that. They go up the stratosphere, they bounce back. Where they hit the ground, they can change the weather. They can also, by certain low frequencies of high intensity, of so many million volts pushed up into the air, they can then take those frequencies and actually do mind control. And that in turn is connected to what is called chemtrails, which are basically, the way I can read it, aluminum powder that has been spread across the United States. I've seen that. I've got pictures of that. You see, that looks like a network, and then it sprays. And that enhances other things. So where are we going with this? The development of the chip, which is really the mark of the beast, has gone forward in leaps and jumps. And I'm just looking at this. I'm thinking, Lord, do I feel a little bit like Noah? Am I a voice that cries out in the wilderness? Am I warning? And would there be anybody listening to me? And I'm thinking, Lord, you've given me insight into the times. And the worst thing that bothers me more than anything else was a vision I had last year. When I saw these, remember I spoke about the massless, spaceless, it's a interdimensional reaction that takes place, invasion, intrusion, and invasion. Intrusion is one thing, is where you come through, and invasion is where you take over. So I looked at these dark angels. I saw them in a vision. They were absolutely, absolutely blisteringly fast. But I was able to see them come down like that. And I could recognize them in perfect focus in the vision. And I could see that wherever they touched human beings, their heads turned into the heads of monsters. And I began to realize that walking in the midst of us, It's been bothering me all the time. Walking in the midst of us are people whose minds have been completely contaminated and thwarted and brought to a place of mental corruption. And they are there and they are around. And except they accept Jesus, at this time they can, because the mark of the beast will cause them not to be able, because the mark of the beast, part of the mark of the beast, that chip, which is the mark of the beast, part of it is to control the human mind so that you won't be able to do what you want to do. You won't be able to say, I give my life to Jesus. You can't. Not with that thing. That's why they go to hell, and that's the end of the story for those people. Whoever receives the mark of the beast. Now they're working, they have gone, like you say in Afrikaans, rassenskrede vooruitgegaan met dit. And the speed of the computer chips that are used for that is unbelievably fast. Unthinkably fast. And so, my dear friends, we're walking in a world that's contaminated. We're walking in a world where minds are driven in wrong directions. People are distracted. People are disabled. But you, as God said in His word, little children, are the children of the light. And you know these things. And you should test the spirits. For the Bible tells us that he who confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who has come into the flesh, is of God. But he who cannot confess Jesus is the Christ who has come into the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You don't need to go much further than that. Test any person and let that person say, Jesus is Lord. And the moment they do that, you would know by what spirit they speak. But some people, because the devil's major scheme, I was going to go in this direction anyway. The devil's major strategy is to twist the mind of the vast population and control the nations. Take control of the nations. I saw how those people with the monster heads touched other people, and it's like that. And if they would go to anybody and they were not born again, they were not saved now, they would touch that person. Just by touching that person's head also went into the shape of a monster. It was a horrifying thing to see happen on the streets. And they confronted me, those things, and I had a spiritual warfare, and I battled them, and God helped me in that vision and drove them back. And I began to realize that most people do not understand, do not experience, do not go that way, and therefore I feel so strong that to equip you with the word, the Bible school, equip you with prayer, the prayer sessions, that we come Saturday mornings and we pray, equip you with the word, equip you, empower you Sunday night with the Holy Spirit, specifically Sunday night, get you as strong as we can get you so that you can walk by faith and the Lord will lead you through your godliness before Him. May God give you this year the ability to really walk with such a consecration. What's the real impact and the experience of fasting? I just typed a couple of questions that I wanted to answer. I ask myself and I answer you. What is the real impact and experience of fasting? The impact is like this. Your physical system is purposefully, now particularly with the water fast, shut down. There are side benefits, like, for example, detoxification takes place, particularly if you take a lot of water. I, at the moment, am drinking a lot of water. So you have detoxification of the human system. Your entire system gets a lot of water, and that's good for you. And so, let's just take a water fast, because that's the easiest to explain. You shut down the physical system, your kidneys, your liver, your vital organs, all the organs in the body that play a major role, even the brain, gets a break. But at the same time, still that is not the purpose. At the same time, the purpose is to make contact with God. Now, Isaiah 58. Goeienaand, Dion Hockey. Isaiah 58 is a very excellent chapter in terms of pointing you in the right direction during your fast. The how-to is in that chapter. I really think so. And you need to read that from the Amplified Bible, from the New Living Translation, from any translation that you have. Just read it, go through it. NIV is also beautiful on that. It tells you, and whatever you don't understand, research it. Find out about it. Ask somebody about it. But Isaiah 58 is what I brought tonight. Because Isaiah 58, if you practice it, the lions won't bite you. I said, the lions won't bite you. Can you say amen? The devil can't get you. Even though he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, he won't be able to get you. Because God is with you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Your godliness will lead you forward. You will progress. If you're godly, you will progress. Can you say amen? Amen. It's just like that. You know, I could tell you after how many years now in the kingdom of God. I mean, I grew up as a Christian. I was a Sunday school teacher at 16. Now, I tell you, after all of these years, the one thing I've seen. Dit gaan die belangrikste ding wees wat vir julle aanseker sal sê. The one thing I've seen is that being a doer of the Bible brings a definite blessing into our lives. Do what the Word says and you'll have what the Word promises. Okay. This is good for the internet. Do what the Word says and you will have what the Word promises. Be a doer of the Word. I used to think, you know, there was one time there was a guy that had this thing and he said, well, you know, if I had one more sermon to preach, what would I preach? Wat sal ek preek? And I used to think, if I ever had one more sermon to preach, I will say, be a doer of the Word. Because that thing is to me the most important thing. You see, Maud comes and she takes up an offering. And now in everyone's mind, let me first define the word and then give you the word. The word is like this. It is the way of thinking. The word attitude equals a way of thinking that impacts behavior. Everybody, including myself, all of us, have an opinion, a way of thinking. That opinion impacts the way we behave. But if we understand that we are so dependent upon God, I told you last night, I just came out with some stuff that I said to you, look how sensitive this thing is. We love sinners. We hate sin. We embrace the lost. We embrace the people who have gone astray. We give them a hug. We lead them with love and a handshake into the kingdom of God. We have to love all people because Jesus died for all people. Give Jesus a praise offering. Will you do that right now? We have to do that. So let me get back to what I'm busy talking about. Main point here is what does a fast do? It shuts down your physicality and it ignites your spirituality. Did you hear what I've just told you? It shuts down physicality and ignites spirituality. That's like it is, particularly a water fast. Of course, you've got to be careful with a water fast. I got to give you a whole lecture on that. Because the way you break a water fast, you don't go and have a steak after a water fast. You can get killed. You can eat yourself to death. I know of people that did just that and they died. When I was still inexperienced, I fasted 8 days. And then I said to her, I think I'm going to break the fast now. I think after 8 days, I'm hungry enough. I've been walking and praying and reading the letters of the Apostle Paul. And I'm walking and praying in those days around the West Dean Dam. Round the dam. And it's all about the letters of the Apostle Paul. Go back and pray. Pray, fast, pray. So Sunday comes. I say, make her some food. She goes and she makes, ek wil amper dit nie sê nie weer. Dit veroorsaak nou weer dinge. She makes sausage with some nice gravy and eggs. Ooh. 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 Heaven is. But then, Oh my, I was on my way to church after that. And suddenly, it hit me. I curled up with pain. The pains eating meat after a water fast is terrible. You stay away from animal products. You start with vegetables and small quantities of fruit juices. Nothing too strong. If you've had a long water fast, depending on how long the water fast is, if it's like 40 days, it'll take you 40 days to break it. You don't go on a 40-day fast and break the and make up for 40 days in one day. We'll carry you and put you in a box. You'll go down with that box. It'll be your last meal, you know. Amen? I just look at those hungry faces now. Or have you all lost all appetite after that? Water fasts shut down the system. But what it does, what does it do for you, is the second part of my question there, is it immediately takes you to the level of becoming very aware of the presence of God, the spiritual dimension. It's like an interaction that takes place. So much so that every single fast I did, I found that I didn't want to break it. Because I had such a sweet, can I say, fellowship with the Lord. And I had such an experience, right now I feel it too. I had such an experience that I prayed about it too. Beg God, please just don't take this away because this is glorious. And you would cross through the barrier, particularly if you pray in tongues. Get a little practical, you pray in tongues. You cross through the barrier of the flesh. Like that. And you become aware of things. You become aware of other people's problems. Names come up in your awareness, so to speak. You become aware of, I should be praying for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I should take time and pray for this person. You see visions. I saw visions. I would take up a pen and with a prophetic anointing start writing. That document actually disappeared. Because way back, this was in 19, let me just get this thing fixed. 1989, I had a fast. And during that particular fast, I sat in Veronica Street. We were living in a place called Veronica Street. I sat looking out. I picked up the pen and I was so prayed up. The children would get friends and their friends would say to them, does your father speak Greek? What language is he busy talking? You know? And they would ask him and I said, oh, no, he's just praying. What? Praying? Yes, he's praying. Stay away from there. Okay. I pick up the pen and I begin to write. And I write prophecy and I begin to write the future. And it's like my hand is just carried. Just write it. I put it in the little tray and that disappeared. I'm so sorry I lost that document. Maybe I'll still one day find it. But I just began to write prophecy. Everything was prophecy. Come out of that thing. The presence of God is so powerful. You come out of that thing, you're going to the Bible school. I teach in the Bible school. There's a woman in the Bible school. Sits at the back of the Bible school. Maybe Tiens was there. Tiens is always there.
From Noah.
From the days of Noah. That's right. After. Ken. Ken?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes.
Ken. Yes. Yes. They're from Noah. Don't worry. Noah. I'll just leave that. This woman came forward. Now, I've just been fasting, praying hours, like hours, praying hours. Just being alone with God, just alone with God. Talk to the Lord, sometimes listen, sometimes talk, sometimes listen, sometimes talk. Always music, always worship music with me. Always worship music around me. I just talk, worship, talk, worship, talk, listen, listen. Then sometimes I'd grab the iPad, make a note or something. Then, okay, fine, that comes up now. Sometimes jump up and quickly type something on the computer, go back again, talk, listen, worship, 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 talk. Now come out of this thing, And I walked down, and there's a woman in the back. She says, pray for me. I got whatever the problem was. Because it ended very suddenly. She came forward. She said, pray for me. So, okay, fine. She comes forward. It's like a lady with blonde hair, short hair. I remember her haircut. I can remember what she looks like. I'll still recognize her face. So, she comes forward. And I just mind my own business now. I've just come out of a heavy prayer session. And I just do that. I just take her face. The fire of God hits her. She screeches like one of these Australian macaws. Those white ones. What do they call them? Macaws. Cockatoos. What do they call them? Australian. Okay, Tiens, you see, you was ook daar geweest. You know, you haven't seen those not so big parrots. They're big. But their voices are big. Okay. She makes a screech and she makes a run. She says, I don't want to go near that man. I'm burning. I'm burning. Out the doors. There she is. Demons running in every direction. They fleeing like ticks that abandon a dog's back. Just get out of here. There's flea powder here and it's burning. One guy comes up to me, that was little, very little, and during another one of those, in the front. It's so funny. I mean, Yanni. What are you saying? Time. You want me to stop now? You don't want to hear this, okay? How many of you say, let's close down? What's outvoted here tonight? But daar kom 'n ouetjie daar aan. And he's lekker skeef. I mean, he is as skew as you can get them. I don't think, you think he walked like that. He's just... And the guys come to me and they say, watch out, he does karate. He's got a black belt and whatnot. Hey, skop. Now, he's walking like this. I don't know how he's going to kick. But in any case, he's walking like that. And I'm thinking, this guy is an unhappy guy. He's a policeman. So I take him, boom. It's like you take a positive and a negative of an electric charger on his head. And he goes... He burns. Erika, jy moet hierdie goeders ook ken. He burns. I mean, he goes house on fire. He burns. Now, he had all kinds of problems. I mean, all kinds of problems. This guy had many problems. He burns. He goes home. He drives home burning. The fire doesn't want to leave him. He puts his foot down. That doesn't help either. The devil jumps out the car, but he's still burning. He's going at high speed, finally reaches home. He runs into his front, into his sitting room, and he's burning. Niemand kan met hom huis hou nie, hy brand. Midnight, suddenly, he goes into convulsions. And one after another, demon spirits start coming out of him. One after another, foam pouring out of the sides of his mouth. You must listen to this. Because this is what we're dealing with. I've had it many times. Foam comes out their mouths. It's like they go into a state of, excuse me, like vomiting of foam. But with that comes like large amounts of what seems air. That air, the word spirit, literally means a puff of air. That you get this like an air that comes out of them all the time. Just one after another. Shortly after midnight, we have one delivered man who becomes a home cell leader and a very happy family man. Give the Lord a praise of him. That right, Jens? You remember him? I remember his name. I won't say names, but I remember his name. And so, as for you, what does a fast do for you? What does a Daniel fast do for you? It shapes your whole year. Why should you keep up with it? Because we all need to discipline this thing called the flesh. We need to discipline it. We need to do maximum on this thing. Then what effect does fasting have when accompanied by prayer? I kind of covered that because, in a way, when fasting is accompanied by prayer, it intensifies your prayer. Remember the words of Jesus, this kind does not go forth or does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now there was a man, and he was a pastor. And he really upset me because his sister had severe bouts of, grand mal seizure, petite mal seizure, you know, the different types of seizure, epileptic seizure, all right? She had it very bad. And I said, no problem. God can fix that thing up, so no problem. Let's all fast and pray. Let's each spend a few hours today, like I set a date. And we all fast, we all pray. Get some pastors with. Let us all pray for this thing. Let's do this. Okay? So about a day before, or it could have been the same day, I get a message from the guy saying, no, he doesn't feel that this is going to be the solution for his sister, and he's calling it off. We won't be praying for her. Now I'm fasted, I'm prayed, I'm everything. I'm ready to do something about this thing. Because I have twice seen God raise people from the dead. I've seen God numerous occasions heal people of cancer. I've seen God do these things. So what is fasting and prayer together with prayer? It actually amplifies your prayer power. That's the answer to the question. Okay, I got one more question. Holiness or corruption with your fasting? We cannot allow any form of corruption of our behavior when we are busy with a fast. It's got to be purity of life. There's got to be a special effort from all of us to come closer to God. Can you say amen? Holiness or corruption? I remember one time, there was a man out here in South Africa by the name of Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. And he prayed. And he said, I want to pray for all the people who've got fivefold ministry calling. Now, I was one. Fivefold, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. He gave some to be. Ephesians chapter 4:11. Gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So if you're in a fivefold ministry, our group of churches called the Fivefold Ministries International. Your fivefold ministry, come forward. So, of course, there were a lot of people in the place, and this crowd streams forward. And he stops and he says, you're busy grieving the Holy Spirit. I said, if you're in fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers, you may come forward. If you're not, go sit. Because if you're being disobedient and you expect a blessing, the blessing will turn into a curse on your life. I never forgotten that. Maud said, Harold, you go. She sent me forward. And I was a minister. She sent me forward. She could have come with me, but she sent me forward. And he came down and he prayed, let the same spirit that is upon me be upon the people that I now lay hands on. And there were some people there that would not get ears and understanding. They came forward to be prayed for what they were not supposed to be prayed for. You see, there is a special endowment for people that stand on a platform like me. You have to have a specific anointing. There are different kinds of anointing, diverse kinds of empowerments of the Holy Spirit. Diverse. Okay? Having then gifts differing, brethren, let us use them. Those gifts that God give you, there's a specificity when it comes to those who are call of God in full-time ministry. Their gift set, spiritual gift set, is quite profound. It's amplified, but it also rubs off. It's the way God wants it. Causes a chain reaction, impacts other lives. Those other lives are then also raised up as leaders of the future. But you can't pray for somebody that's into sin. Hy bly by 'n vrou en hy het nie met haar getrou. Now he says, come pray for me and bless me. I wouldn't even try that. Me, I won't try that. Die Here weet, ek is te bang vir die Here vir dit. I will not do that. If a woman is good enough to sleep with, she is definitely good enough to get married to. And if it's a man from another marriage who sleeps with a woman from another marriage, I don't even want to go there. I spoke last night about the desecration of the harmony of God's name. When funny things begin to happen, people, you know, people are, God knows everybody's got a sin nature. But there are certain things, certain boundaries, you just stay behind those boundaries. You never cross those boundaries. People stay together. Man, I tell you what, I get rough on some of these guys. One guy had a lack of thing going with a woman, and he left his wife. And I went to buy a stick, and I was in, what's that place there? A walking stick. That was in Cape Town. Daarby die strand daar. What's that place? Somerset Mall. I walk in the Somerset Mall and I'm needing a walking stick. I just want a walking stick because I walk around in the mountains there. So I need a walking stick. So I go to get myself a walking stick. What do you see? Here he comes with Snow White floating past me. And I'm looking at this and I'm looking. But he's now got a completely, he's now got a mask. You see, he's now grown his hair to look like Superman. He's now got all of the stuff, all the trimmings are there because now he's got a new girlfriend and she's changed her hairstyle so as not to be too obvious. And they walk into me and that was the greatest shock of their system for their lives. So I was carrying a stick. So I begin to play around with the stick and they look around and they realize I've recognized them and they run and I run through the Somerset Mall. Nou wil ek hier laat op hulle sit. Ek wil hulle nou van agter af so bietjie net aan help hierso. And I'm after them. So they run, there's these swing doors. I mean the people, it stops the traffic in the mall. Everybody's looking at this. It's like criminals that are fleeing and somebody's chasing. Oh, he's got to be FBI or something. I don't know, you know, Secret Service maybe. I don't know. Just he's after those two and he's going to get them. And I'm picking up speed. They cut a corner and there's these spin doors. You know, and the spin door is for them and they slip through and they run. And the spin door's against me. It catches me. Now I'm waiting and I'm seeing them gaining a little bit of distance. So my gap comes through. Now I'm going to wait for the stupid spin door to come through. And eventually I'm out with a stick and I'm after them. They jump in a car, Land Rover. Have you ever seen a Land Rover spin its tires? I mean, Land Rovers don't spin tires, particularly not on a tar road. Maar die vrees van die Here was op hom. I tell you, the fear of God hit that man and that woman. I don't think they could enjoy life together after that anymore. Because they knew. And I said, you, right now, I could get as close to say this to them before they raced off. I said, I place you under spiritual discipline in the name of Jesus. Turned around, walked away. That stays until repentance. People don't understand. So why are you fasting? Because you want something. What are you believing for? Because you're precious. Let me say this to you. God wants to give you what you're asking for. Isaiah 58 for you tonight. God wants to give you what you're asking for. God is saying to you that it's never too late, neither is it impossible, nor is the door closed, nor is the opportunity over, because God got something better for you. We have got to learn to be satisfied with what God sends to us. When He sends something to you, be glad and rejoice. Because with God, everything always multiplies. Why am I saying this? With God, everything multiplies. He's different from anyone on this earth. His name is Jesus. And when He touches you to bless you, when He sees you serious with your Daniel fast, when He sees that you'd like to have that nice food, but you refuse your mouth, you will not take it. Because consecration to God is more important than food. It's not the food that sustains you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is, in fact, in every possible way, it always is that God will sustain you because of your commitment to Him, because of your fasting. It cuts out all the carnality. It brings in spirituality. It brings a closer relationship with God. It brings an experience of God upon you. It brings you into a dimension of prayer power and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It gets you to the place where the fire of God's burning on you, so you even touch somebody with a demon, that person with a demon will go running and he will be set free. It gives you authority and power over serpents and scorpions. It's not just talking it, it's experiencing it. When you walk in the room and there's something wrong, you've got instant authority. I never have any hassles with that, even if I'm overseas. We go into a place, we want to go with Yanni and them to the Grand Canyon. We stop in Las Vegas and we stayed in the Grand Fort Hotel. Right? Grand Fort, Luxor. Grand Fort's the other one in Egypt. That's just next to the Nile River now I'm talking about. No, the Luxor. And then there's this hotel is like a pyramid. So we get, and the lifts run on the side of the pyramid like that. It's the funniest thing. Have you ever gone up a lift that goes up skew? But anyway, it goes up skew. So you could feel a changing direction. The floor still remains parallel with the ground, but they've designed this thing. So we go up to whatever level. So we get out. I think it's about the 7th floor. We get out, and Bort says, this whole city makes me feel sick. I feel terrible. Stop right there. Right there. In the middle of Las Vegas. Right there. Say, right. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every single spirit in this area. And I bind you, Satan. Go away from my wife in Jesus' name. Bang, she's healed immediately. Wherever you go, you have authority. Wherever you are, you have power. Wherever you are, this increases your prayer strike force. Your prayer power is multiplied. Answers come to you. People that are having to make decisions, you will have the wisdom. It'll come to you. Be alert, be watchful. Don't let people take you for a ride. You will be successful in this year as you walk with God. And I really say to you that South Africa has entered into a new, let me close with this. We've entered in a new dispensation. Do you know that? We've entered a new era. It's the number of this year, or then 2018. 8 is the letter that tells you rejuvenation, revival, new beginning, new era, new dispensation. Yes, making things new again. This is this year. For the Church of Jesus Christ, it is your opportunity to say, I'm going to make things new in my life. I'm going to put my shoulder to the plow. I'm going to get some fruit out of this year. I am going to do what is required of me to do, but I'm going to walk with God. And my godliness will pave and lead me forward. But at the same time, the glory of the Lord will accompany me wheresoever I go. When I get into a meeting, He's there. That's amazing. I close with the last thing. Here's a guy that he's just, I mean, he's just now. He was like, he's called alcoholic or drunkie or whatever you want to call them. So he's coming out of this, and he comes to, we were still working in the world system, and he's coming to the, got into the lift with me. He gets into the lift. The first thing he does is start repenting of sin. He stands there and he repents of his sin. And I said, what sin did you do? He said, today you were sharing with some of the Christians here at work about if you have a weakness, and let's say it's alcohol. Let's say now, let's talk a little bit about alcohol here. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Wherein is what? Excess. What is excess? Excess means to cast off all restraint, loosening of your moral values, lowering of such, and being out of control of your inner self. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That's what it means there. Quote, unquote, from dictionaries. Just straight like that. But be filled with the Spirit. So I said, now, you know, you. I'm talking to the people. I'm saying, if you got a problem with alcohol, just don't go work in a bar. So he gets in the lift. The first thing he does, he just lands up. This is the way God works. Lands up in the lift with me. And he throws his hand up. He says, I'm guilty. He says, I'm guilty of what you've been talking about. And he's just confessing his sin. Now tell me in detail. He says, you know, I'm an ex-alcoholic and I'm working in the pub at Ellis Park. Somebody, your friends, stay away from those things that cause you to stumble. Stay close to God. Parents, go and get your children. It's 4 minutes to the hour and I'm going to close here. I'm not going to go on tonight. What we're going to do is, again, I'm calling out the pastors. Let the pastors come to the front. And all pastors, will you come now, straight away? All the pastors, come to the front. And Dr. Dennis, you people come with as well. And just the zone leaders are also welcome to come to the front. And Rose, you can come to the front. All the people that are part of my prayer team, come to the front. And whoever's got whatever problem or ever need or something you're wanting agreement, prayer on for your business, for your work, for your finance, for whatever, it'll be done for you tonight. It'll be done for you tonight. There is a medical report concerning a woman that was not good at all. And God is saying, I'm turning the thing around. You can go and retest yourself. You're healed. Just that, I've got to say those words. She will know exactly who she is. You're healed. It's a woman. All right. Now, with that being in mind, I want to say to you, whatever it is that you need, there are people here that will pray with you extensively. Let's stand together and let's just worship God. Thank you, God, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. How many of you got a need tonight? Would you raise your hands for me, please? Will you whisper what that need is to the Lord for me quickly? Just tell God what it is. Say, God, help me with whatever it is, with this, that, or the other. Just say it right now. Just say it. Just say it. Just say it. There's one with a decision. And the Lord says, I give you the mind of Christ. You won't make a mistake. I have imparted wisdom to you. You won't make a mistake. There is a man with a hiatus hernia. It's causing you to have huge amounts of heartburn. And God says, tonight I'm healing that thing. I'm taking it out. And you won't suffer from that heartburn no more. From this night, it'll be gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Somebody with difficulty to hear The Lord's just opened both your ears. Not one, both. There's somebody here with an eye problem and your eyes are progressively growing weaker. God is touching your eyes tonight and stopping the process of degeneration of the eye. There is a man who has a problem when he swallows. God is saying tonight, I am opening up what blocked. I am cleansing you. I am healing you. I am restoring you. I have forgiven you. Go in peace and be healed. There's somebody here with a major financial decision. God says, your decision is right. Your future is bright. I'm going to multiply you. 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 Thus saith the Lord to you. Somebody here that have been suffering rejection. Very badly so, and it's really very offensive. If people can get very rude on some people that, and like I said, there's like demonized heads, monsters on their feet, and they get quite aggravating and they become acrimonious, hateful. And I, Father, pray tonight in the name of Jesus Christ that anybody here who's been offended, hurt, molested, done in, stolen from, stabbed in the back, misused, abused. Lord, that there be healing to every single one here tonight. I pray for the people over the internet, the very self same, those watching us over the internet, same things for you. Somebody here with threatening, I don't quite even know what it is, but I just know it's called Parkinson's disease. That's what the Lord is saying to me, that expression, Parkinson's disease. That's the one thing I'm not a doctor. God says tonight, the process has begun. I've reversed that process. You need not fear. I've touched you. I've broken the yoke and you will not shake. You will not quiver. You will not be fearful. You'll be filled with faith and go out with joy and in full confidence and notice that your functionality of your entire physical system is normal. Thank you, Father, tonight for healing marriages. I pray this time of the Daniel fast is a marital restoration period also. And I thank you, Father, tonight in Jesus' name. Finally, I take authority over all spirits of adultery, spirits of temptation for adultery that the devil created. I break the curse and the stronghold and the influence thereof and set the captives free so that they can enjoy their walk with God. I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. God bless you. I'll see you.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.